Christian nationalism, again, is this cultural framework or way that people understand and see the world, and they want to see American identity really interlinked with Christianity.
Welcome to the BJC Podcast and the second episode in our series on Christian nationalism. I'm Amanda Tyler, BJC's Executive Director, and your host for this series. We're spending 10 weeks taking a deep dive into the topic of Christian nationalism. We knew the subject would be timely when we planned this series, but as we prepared this week's episode, the country has been rocked by two more mass shootings over the weekend, and at least one of them has been labeled an act of domestic terrorism by federal officials. The killer of 20 people at an El Paso Walmart espoused white supremacist views in an online manifesto he posted before his killing spree. According to reports, he also identified himself as a proud, God-loving Christian in his Twitter profile. Last week, in addition to starting this podcast series, we at BJC joined with several ecumenical partners to launch a new project called Christians Against Christian Nationalism. In the first week, we've seen 9,000 Christians from more than three dozen denominations in all 50 states, plus the District of Columbia and Puerto Rico, sign on to a statement of principles at ChristiansAgainstChristianNationalism.org. Included in the statement is an acknowledgement that Christian nationalism, quote, often overlaps with and provides cover for white supremacy and racial subjugation, end quote. I know that Christians are struggling about what we can do after yet another deadly attack inspired by white supremacy. I have one small suggestion. Start by signing the statement and denouncing Christian nationalism. A few weeks ago, I had the pleasure to visit with one of the country's leading experts on Christian nationalism. Professor Andrew Whitehead is a sociology professor at Clemson University, and he's studied and written extensively about Christian nationalism. Though we didn't discuss it in our interview, Dr. Whitehead has co-authored a scholarly paper titled Gun Control in the Crosshairs, Christian Nationalism in Opposition to Stricter Gun Laws, which seems particularly timely to our current moment. You'll hear in this interview that Professor Whitehead's research reveals how Christian nationalism can be a predictor for many different cultural and political views. The Christians Against Christian Nationalism campaign is not organized as an advocacy platform around gun control or any other satellite issue, but it is worthwhile to consider how these other issues might be related. As he says in our conversation, Christian nationalism is a cultural framework that all Americans are affected by. I'm glad you're here to learn more with me from this academic expert. Dr. Whitehead, thank you for joining me today.
Thank you for the invitation.
Great. Well, as we get started, I thought it would be helpful for our listeners if you could just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you came to study Christian nationalism.
So, yeah, as you mentioned, I'm a sociologist at Clemson, and the area that I study and focus on is religion, and especially religion in the United States. And so I'm always fascinated to look at how religion informs and influences how Americans think about different aspects of their lives, whether it's their families or how they parent or the, you know, how they think about politics. And really, I look at large, you know, samples of Americans and surveys and things like that. And so I was interested in Christian nationalism just because growing up in the Midwest and being around a lot of people who, you know, would identify as religious, and then you're constantly hearing about how the U.S. is a Christian nation, and this narrative is kind of accepted, and people maybe don't even think twice about it. And so working with my colleague Sam Perry at Oklahoma, University of Oklahoma, we've been doing work on this for the last 5 or so years. And so we were just curious in, you know, for those Americans who believe the U.S. is a Christian nation, how does it affect how they see the world?
I think a helpful place for us to start our conversation is by laying out some definitions. In visiting with people, I think the terms that you just used, a Christian nation and Christian nationalism, those can mean different things to different people.
Yeah.
So can you help us by providing some working definitions of those terms to help get us started?
Yeah, definitely. I would love to. And I think you make a really good point. When we talk about or think about the U.S. as a Christian nation, one thing that we have to be clear on is, well, what does that mean? And then how are people defining that? Because we could define the Christian nation or the U.S. as a Christian nation in different ways. So are we talking about, well, there are a majority of Americans who would identify as Christian, you know, like 51% or more, so that makes us a Christian nation? Or are we looking at, let's say, founding documents and, you know, the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution? Does that make us a Christian nation? Or the people that founded the United States, if they were Christians, does that make us a Christian nation? So there's different ways we could think about that. So I think it's important to understand what people are saying when they say, oh, we're a Christian nation. Well, what does that mean exactly? And so Christian nationalism is related to this narrative, this idea of the U.S. is a Christian nation, however people might define it, whether it's we have a majority of Christians or our founding documents are Christian, some might say, or try to propose. But Christian nationalism includes those things, but it also includes a number of other things. So it's not only this narrative that the U.S. is a Christian nation, but also the traditions that surround that narrative, the different symbols that we have in our country that get attached to this or try to overlay this Christian idea with what it means to be an American, these different value systems that get interwoven with this tradition. And all of these things together work to essentially idealize and advocate a fusion of Christianity with American civic life. We would say that Christian nationalism, with all these things together, is a cultural framework. And so one way to think about that is it's really like a lens through which people see and then interpret their social worlds. And so that lens colors how they not only perceive the world and think about it, but then also how they act in it. Christian nationalism then is this idea of how we understand our history, our sacred symbols, what we value, our public policies. It needs to be distinctively Christian in their minds. But then when we think about, well, what does that Christian mean? That can mean something very different depending on, you know, if you're a person of faith or not, or anything like that. I guess the shorter answer is Christian nationalism, again, is this cultural framework of a way that people understand and see the world, and they want to see American identity really interlain with Christianity.
That's really helpful. And I think sometimes we talk about what it's not. You know, I think we find it helpful sometimes at BJC to distinguish it that it's not, it's different than Christianity, right?
Right.
And yeah. So I don't know, maybe say a little bit about that or what your research has revealed there.
Yeah. So when we talk about it as a cultural framework, it not only includes different symbols that it essentially co-opts from the Orthodox Christian faith, but it lays on all these other understandings and value systems. And so to say it's Christianity, you almost have to put it in quotes because it represents something more than religion or Orthodox Christianity. So it includes assumptions about you know, what it means to be an American, what those people actually physically look like, how they live and act in the world, you know, how they think about how government should operate, those types of things are all represented within Christian nationalism. And so really it goes above and beyond Christianity or the Orthodox Christian faith. Yeah, it's taking some of those things, but then melding it with all of these other understandings, which is some of what we get at in our work and in our forthcoming book. When you're talking about Christianity and Christian nationalism, we show over and over that these are two very different things and they operate in very different ways.
Yeah, and I'd love to start talking about your work and your studies. And I know part of that is having, you know, some broad-based surveys of Americans, right, and how they fall on some kind of scale of Christian nationalism. Can you talk a little bit about how you actually poll or survey on Christian nationalism?
Yeah, definitely. So there are essentially two different ways that we measure Christian nationalism in a lot of our work. And so we focus mostly on large national samples of Americans. And we, for one way that we measure it, we ask six different questions. And so we would ask people responding to the survey to strongly agree or strongly disagree with the question, something like the federal government should declare the United States a Christian nation, or the federal government should advocate Christian values. Questions like that, where then people can start to see and state to us, yes, I really believe this should be true about the United States or not. And then we take those six questions and we can combine people's answers, and that places all of our respondents on essentially a scale. And we see that Americans are spread out over this whole scale and really evenly distributed. So that tells us that there's a lot of difference and differentiation and variation across the American public of how they think about the United States and Christianity and whether we are a Christian nation. And so the other way that we measure Christian nationalism is we ask people, or we use surveys that ask respondents, how important is it, if you're going to be a good, true American, that you also need to be Christian? And so if they say there, it's very important that you have to be Christian to be a true American, again, that gets at this idea of this underlying American identity, that Christianity must be a part of that. And that, again, is this idea of Christian nationalism, that if you're going to be American, you have to be Christian. And again, that overlays kind of how they see the world and experience it. So those are the two primary ways that we study Christian nationalism quantitatively when we're doing surveys. But we also have interviewed a lot of Americans and then done some participant observation where we go to Celebration of America services, at different churches across the U.S. And so we would attend some of those and really look at, well, how are these congregations and people thinking about this interaction between being an American and then being Christian as well?
Yeah, we often around patriotic holidays, it seems like we see an uptick in expressions of Christian nationalism and of a related issue of American civil religion. And it would be helpful if you could distinguish between those two things for our listeners.
So when we talk about Christian nationalism, again, it's this idea that, the U.S. should be distinctively Christian from the top down. But one thing that you point out is that it isn't necessarily civil religion. And so civil religion is something that has existed as well in a history of the U.S. But a lot of times it is highlighting this idea that the U.S., might have been influenced or is influenced by providence or the creator or nature's God, those types of things where this is a part of our history, but it isn't as though it's a very specific brand of Christianity or even religiosity. And so to be a good nation, we need to care for people. We need to, think about justice and mercy and humility, to be good citizens. All of those things are kind of wrapped up in this idea of civil religion. Christian nationalism, though, goes even further. And it's essentially informed as well by different parts of the Bible that it might pull from, where it is a lot more conservative Christian or conservative evangelicalism coming through, where it isn't just providence or, God generally, but they'll point much more to, looking at and thinking about Jesus Christ. Where civil religion might encourage us to be good citizens, Christian nationalism is saying that, like, as a nation, we need to prove our allegiance to God. Our policies need to reflect the Christian Bible. God has expectations for us, and if we go against those, then America will fall, will experience God's wrath. And so for Christian nationalists, it becomes much more important to ensure that the culture and society strictly follow what they perceive as what's most important from the Christian Bible and make sure that, again, society follows those rules if we're going to maintain our stance, basically on God's good side. And if we move away from those things, it's going to go badly for us and for the world too.
I think it's really helpful. And, as you were speaking, I was thinking, you know, American civil religion seems more general in many ways. Christian nationalism is more specific and therefore more exclusive, right? This idea to be a good American that you have to be Christian and, in fact, a particular kind of Christian, perhaps, is more threatening to a broad understanding of religious freedom for all, again, which intersects with the work of BJC. You mentioned earlier that you've been working on a book with your collaborator, Dr. Perry. Could you tell us a little bit about that forthcoming book and what your research has revealed?
Yeah, our book just went to production, and so it's coming out from Oxford University Press, and it should be out in the spring of 2020. And so the title is Taking America Back for God, Christian Nationalism in the United States. And so it really is kind of a culmination of years of research that we've done where we've written different peer-reviewed journal articles. And so now we wanted to kind of bring it all together. The big kind of takeaway is that Christian nationalism is something that we all are affected by in the United States. So whether we accept it or embrace it, or for those Americans that reject it, if we know your views and whether you reject or embrace Christian nationalism, we know a lot about how you're going to see the world politically, how you're going to think about family life, how you're going to think about religious freedom and religious tolerance, how you're going to think about racial and ethnic tolerance. All these things are wrapped up in this idea of Christian nationalism. And so throughout the book, we kind of explore how Christian nationalism is focused on power within culture and society. It wants to maintain power in the way that it views the world. It wants to create strong boundaries, both racially and then also religiously within the culture, about who has, again, the power and who doesn't. And then finally, it wants to maintain order. So not only order within the culture, but especially order within family life and how they think about the family and what how families should operate. All those things are wrapped up in Christian nationalism and what it means for the world. So what we find and argue then too is that this has implications for Americans in a big way, because for people that view the world or embrace Christian nationalism, they have very specific ideas about what a good society is and then also how to get there. And that may be in direct opposition to a lot of Americans who, again, maybe resist or reject Christian nationalism.
In your quick sketch of what the book will tell us about, I thought, you know, we could have an episode of our podcast for each one of those topics. But in the interest of time and in what, you know, our listeners are most focused on, and that is attitudes towards religious freedom and religious tolerance, I'd love to hear a little bit about what you found and how that correlates to identifying with a Christian nationalist framework.
Yeah, so what we find is that Christian nationalism is intent on creating and sustaining boundaries, again, about who is a true American and what that means in their religious life, but then also as a society, what religions, or especially religion, and in their view, kind of a conservative Protestant evangelical Christianity, should be privileged within the public sphere. For your listeners, I'm sure they've heard of some different, you know, Christian nationalist thought leaders like Robert Jeffress in Dallas or Franklin Graham. So looking at the things that they say and what they say and quotes from them, we can see that they view Christianity as it should be privileged in the U.S. sphere. And so when we look at Americans, we see that that is represented. So for those Americans who strongly embrace Christian nationalism, we find that they are much more likely to view Muslims as a threat, that Muslims will try and hurt us physically, restrict our freedoms, those types of things. When we look at another kind of group that's been put on the outside of American identity is atheists. So for people that believe there is no God, Christian nationalists are much more likely to view atheists as a threat. And we also actually find that Christian nationalism, Americans who embrace it, they're also more likely to view Jewish people as a threat. it doesn't just apply to those that aren't religious or maybe are Muslim or non-Christian religions, but even Judeo-Christian religion like Judaism, they'll view Jews as a threat too. And so the fact that they view these other religions with fear or see them as a threat, it isn't just that you should be religious, but that you have to be Christian. And so again, it underlies this identity and understanding of what it means to be an American means you need to be Christian in and of itself. And so Christianity should be privileged in the public sphere. Those that are Muslim or Jewish or atheists, they can never truly represent what it means to be an American. And so you can also see this playing out in the news. So there was a Republican in Texas who his other Republican colleagues actually tried to get him taken off of a leadership position because he was Muslim. And so they were, you know, in different quotes were saying literally that he can't faithfully execute his civic duty because of his faith that he's Muslim. And so that's just one example of this idea of for many Americans who embrace Christian nationalism, to be a good citizen, to be truly American, you have to be Christian. If you aren't, you can't truly execute those duties, whatever they are. And so this has a lot of implications for religious liberty, religious freedom, because really what they're saying is that you should have religious liberty, we should have religious freedom, but to be Christian, not to be any other faith or no faith.
I'm glad that you kind of named some particular examples and some particular people who espouse Christian nationalist views. I think one assumption some might make is that Christian nationalists also are highly religious personally. Have you found that that's always the case, or what has your research revealed there?
Yeah, that's a great question. We do find that those who more strongly embrace Christian nationalism tend to be more religious. But what's really fascinating is that that isn't always the case, and it's not the only case. So while they tend to be more religious, we find that Christian nationalism actually helps kind of unite different groups. And there are people that are ostensibly, you know, non-religious, really, they don't attend church very much. They may believe in the Bible, but they're not really ever reading it or not praying very often, but they'll still have strong Christian nationalist beliefs. And other researchers in our field are showing too that Christian nationalism as a cultural framework really serves to unite disparate groups. And so while many of them are religious, it also tends to unite those people with people who aren't very religious at all, but still want to see Christianity privileged in the public sphere. While it is correlated with religious practice, they aren't one and the same. And two, our research shows, or we are able to show, that a lot of times once we account for Christian nationalism, private religious practice or beliefs actually work really differently in how they influence people compared to Christian nationalism. So again, they aren't one and the same.
Can you say a little bit about that, and particularly maybe if anything in the field of religious freedom and religious tolerance?
Yeah, going back, when Americans who strongly embrace Christian nationalism, again, they're much more likely to, let's say, view Muslims as a threat and, you know, be afraid of Islam as a whole. But once we are able to account for a certain individual or individuals' levels of Christian nationalism, we find that their levels of religious practice, if you're more religious, you're actually less likely to view Muslims as a threat. So it isn't as though Christian nationalism and religious practice both make you more fearful of Islam. Really, it's people's Christian nationalism that's pushing them to see Islam as a threat. Whereas those that are practicing their religion more frequently, if they have lower levels of Christian nationalism, they are much less likely to view Islam as a threat. And so with this, we're kind of making the case that in the media or in different stories about maybe fear of Islam or atheists, it's more precise to talk in terms of Christian nationalism rather than just religious Americans. Because again, private religious practice can actually make you more open to other religions, or at least less likely to view them as a threat overall.
I think that's a great note for us to end this conversation, even though I feel like we could sit here and talk all day about this. I think at least our listeners have a good grounding and understanding as we continue to dig deeper into Christian nationalism. Thanks so much for joining us today, Dr. Whitehead.
Yeah, well, thank you, and thanks for the work you're doing, and always look forward to more conversations.
As our series on Christian nationalism continues next week, we'll examine the idea that the United States was founded as a so-called Christian nation. We'll talk with two experts, Stephen Green, author of Inventing a Christian America, The Myth of the Religious Founding, and Baptist historian Bill Leonard.
So this is one of the things that was intentionally done during the revolutionary period, was to talk about divine providence, to talk about being specially chosen, and to a certain extent, if you want to use this way, to demonize Great Britain while elevating the patriot cause.
The Baptists who first found congregations in the colonies, Roger Williams at Providence and John Clark in Newport, declare from the very beginning that there are no Christian nations, only Christian people bound to Christ, not by citizenship, but by faith.
We'll hear more from both of them next week. I hope you'll subscribe to the BJC podcast to be notified of the latest episodes. Find us on Apple Podcasts, SoundCloud, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. You can also play episodes from our website, bjconline.org. And be sure to follow BJC on social media. We're on Twitter and Instagram at BJCOnTheHill. You can also follow me on Twitter at AmandaTylerBJC. Let us know what you think about the podcast and what questions you have, and join us on Wednesday for our next episode.